This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Hello and welcome to Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080 Light 100.5 WRCH and 96.5 TIC. Our guest is Attorney Jim Bergen of Shipman and Goodwin. We are going to be talking about the Raoul Valley Shelton House Party murder trial. He was found not guilty and walked on the most serious charges he faced. Bergen was not affiliated with the case. Jim, hello, and welcome to the show. Good to have you here.
Glad to help.
Jim, you've been following the case from the time it began in 2022 up until the verdict on July 9th. What were your overall thoughts on it as it played out over the last 3 years?
Well, at first, all I knew was what was in the warrant. And the warrant is impressive in terms of laying out a scenario which looks very, very bad for Raoul Valley. But that's what warrants are supposed to do. Warrants are supposed to put in all those relevant facts which will establish probable cause. It's not designed to put in all the exculpatory evidence. In fact, you're really not obliged to put in any exculpatory evidence other than that which is something that is often done. So in this case, I was expecting what I later saw, most particularly in the summation by Kevin Smith. Kevin Smith did an extraordinary job that lawyers should be trying to do all the time. That is, let the evidence persuade, not the lawyer, the evidence. And he was very humble about getting out of the way and just pointing out to the jurors all that evidence that really did challenge the notion that there was any intent at all, other than, as he put it, the intent to use a tool to save his own life. And I think there some jurors, based on the interview of the one juror, bought it. And I think it does seem to be pretty credible when you see videotapes of all these people who are quoted in the warrant beating hard a number of people. Now, it doesn't matter who's right or who's wrong in the fight. What matters is that you have all these people, 20 or so people, on top of and beating Raoul and his colleague there, and then and only then does this guy have this knife as they're beating him. And he brings out the fact that the knife is causing wounds on the legs of people who are kicking and stomping him. That's pretty hard to say that's an intentional assault. But the prosecution in this particular case seemed to credit very much this whole group of people, not one of whom got charged with a single thing other than Raoul, the guy who's on the ground. Now, naturally, when he uses a knife and his knife actually takes the life of someone, you really better look at it hard. And he did. But I think the idea of putting two immunized witnesses on the stand who got charged with nothing, yet there, if you look at the videotape, you see these same people doing things that, you know, you're not supposed to do. And all the kids are drunk. And they're all still kids. I mean, they're big kids, but they're kids. You know, Raul himself is 16. Some of them were 18, 17. One of the guys who's right next to Jimmy McGrath is a big guy. I think he was a graduate. So, honestly, my first take was not very relevant. What was relevant was the evidence at trial.
The outcome itself, it seemed to take some people by surprise, from both sides, maybe. Does it surprise you?
Well, I don't think it came as a surprise to the defense, other than an enormous relief, because criminal defense lawyers, and I've been one for decades, you go in there and you have to control your expectations, because most people think if you're charged, you're guilty, and you got to fight that. We actually have a constitutional principle of the presumption of innocence, and that's a very hard thing for human beings to do. How do you presume somebody innocent when you know people don't get arrested for nothing? And this guy didn't get arrested for nothing. On the other hand, I wasn't surprised when I paid attention. I could not stop. I had to really pay attention to the Kevin Smith summation, because his was filled with evidence and showed and told the jurors exactly where to look and exactly what to look for. And he got out of the way. It was not about his ego one bit. It was all about what the juror's job was. And when I watched that juror's interview, it was pretty clear they knew what their job was, and they did it.
Speaking of those jurors, 2 hours after they got the case for deliberations, they came back. They said that they were deadlocked on the murder charge. Not too long after that, they came back a second time. This was at the end of the day and the beginning of the next day. So Tuesday, they came back and they said that they were deadlocked on all of the charges. And then they had to deliberate for another day and a half, basically, until the verdict came down again, or almost 2 days. What does that signal to you if the jury was, I don't know if confused is the right word, but if the jury was really asking themselves deeply and they couldn't agree on the charges initially, what does that tell you?
Oh, well, the first time that they said they were deadlocked after only 2 hours, that's really not meaningful. I mean, you can't get through all the evidence with 12 people in 2 hours. What you can do is kind of take, hey, where's everybody stand now? So they must delve into it some, but maybe some people express themselves so strongly that they could see that, well, this is not going to be resolved, and they reported a deadlock. So in that regard, the system handled it right. The judge didn't blink. She realized, no, well, you guys got more work to do, and she sent them back. And so the rest of the time sequence kind of fits the severity of the charges and the quantity of the evidence. It does seem, and they did ask for some specific evidence to be read back, and it was Valley's own testimony. So none of that really was a surprise. Once, of course, a lot of this is, again, elucidated when the juror who did announce the verdict and was probably the foreman was so eloquent in describing the clarity of their view that this evidence just didn't persuade them.
As far as jury selection, how much thought and process do you think went into the jury, particularly with the defense during voir dire?
Oh, that's everything in a murder case. But actually, in almost any case, Connecticut has an unusually robust voir dire system. Very few states have this, where you actually get to talk to each juror individually. And once in a while, you get to talk to an individual juror in a federal case, but very unusual. Generally, you're talking to a whole group. Anybody feel this way? And you look for somebody to put their hand up. Or you can fill out a questionnaire. So they're individual questionnaires. But here in Connecticut, you actually put the juror up there on the witness stand, or in a room where it's just a couple of lawyers and a clerk, and it's more informal. But in a murder case, it's usually right in the courtroom. And each side gets to question. Typically, they focus for about 15 minutes each, but that's the beginning. And then if they find some answers that require some more probing, they follow up, especially in a murder case. And the idea is you're not selecting someone, you are deselecting someone. You are trying to eliminate people who have kind of a set thought process, a set perspective that is inconsistent with the job of being dispassionate and just following the facts and listening to the judge's instructions and following the law. That's their job. It's really a hard job. Facts and law and nothing else. So what happened in this case, Kevin Smith learned about people's background, learned about whether they had any duties in their own lives, in their own professional lives, to evaluate people's credibility, because he made those points during summation. So he found a number of people who had to do something with quality control, or they had to, you know, supervise people. And so he asked them, well, would you make your decisions at work based on this level of credibility, where things that people are said with complete immunity, even though they did some things themselves that would appear to be criminal, maybe they were misdemeanors, but they're having fights and they're kicking and stomping on people and they get immunity. Because I wasn't one of those. It's like, come on, there's 20 of them. And they're videotaping it. When you're videotaping a beating, that is bizarre. That means you are definitely intentionally beating because you want to show people the videotape. So this is the sort of stuff that comes out in voir dire. If you have a background that does have to assess credibility, that makes you unusually suitable to be a juror. Both sides should like that kind of a juror because you want people to assess credibility. But Kevin Smith exploited it well.
I'm Morgan Cunningham. This is Face Connecticut, and we're having a conversation with Shipman and Goodwin attorney Jim Bergen, a longtime criminal defense attorney in Greater Hartford, who's been on WTIC numerous times to talk about and analyze cases that he was not involved in, such as the case here with the Shelton House Party murder trial. Raoul Valley found not guilty on the most serious charges, including murder, and the jury was deadlocked. A mistrial was declared on the lesser charges like reckless manslaughter. I wanted to talk a little bit about the prosecution. They had faced some significant challenges in this case, it would appear, since they lost in this particular instance, in this trial. What were some of the challenges that they had to try to overcome?
Well, the problem was that they needed to have witnesses that were right there, but were obviously part of the group of people described as a horseshoe of 20 people who were beating on the defendant and his colleague. So, you know, you need to have people, but the people are, you know, in at least in those particular moments, not the best characters. And they wouldn't talk unless they got immunity. And so then once you have given them immunity, then the jury's thinking, well, wait a minute, you're not being charged with anything? That's right. And so that is a challenge. I'm not sure the prosecution really gave enough weight to what that meant. And I think part of the problem was the tragic death of Jimmy McGrath is so horrible. There is no human being with any compassion. It just doesn't, you know, you really get hurt on behalf of the family that lost their kid in this fashion. But, you know, then you have to still tamper your feelings and look at very specifically what all these facts were. And I think because these are all basically, quote, good kids, but good kids at that age do some pretty dumb things. And that's why we don't allow parents to give them alcohol. So that those civil cases, to me, are really where the rubber meets the road in this case, because that's how this all happened. I mean, whether this would have happened if nobody had anything to drink, I don't think so. You know, these are boys, big boys, and they're acting like boys. They're not acting like, you know, people whose brains are fully formed and thinking about, wait a minute, what are we doing here? So that was a hard problem, and it's not something you can overcome. You can't change the age and the maturity of these guys.
You mentioned the civil aspect of this, and of course, there's a lot to talk about what comes next because this isn't over. Let's talk about what could happen next as far as the civil case goes, because the McGrath family is pursuing that.
Well, I can tell you already, it's not even next. They've filed these suits. A lot of people have filed suits already. There are pending lawsuits against the parents at each of the homes where these underage kids were drinking. And I think there's nobody who's an adult who's listening to your program who during their teen years didn't go over to somebody's house and drink. That happens. It's also not supposed to happen. And the parents have to know it doesn't work out. And nowadays, with you know, how quick it is for people to contact each other, you know, somebody's, hey, parents are gone, let's go, come on over to John's house, and everybody pops over to John. This was a circumstance where the parents knew it was happening, and they just, you know, looked the other way. Well, the insurance companies are having to have a hard time with that. They don't want to be backing that up. And but the insurance companies have a duty to defend, so they all get lawyers. So we're going to see what happens. But it's a mess because Raul has nothing. He has no money. He's, you know, he was 16 at the time. So, you know, you got to name him, but you can't collect a dime from him.
Let's talk about what could happen next as far as the criminal aspect. The state has every right to retry the charges that were basically thrown out because it was a mistrial. They could go after those again, correct?
Yes, but just so you know, all of the actual charges in the original information resulted in acquittals. Those cases are not guilty. It's over. It was lesser included that were added. Those are not part of the original charge.
What does that mean?
So, well, they made a judgment not to do the original information. That's just a word for the charging document, the thing that lays out the crimes. All of those crimes were resolved. However, during the course of the end of the trial, the prosecution advocated for and successfully having the jury consider if those charges don't fly, these other crimes that are included in the bigger crime, but they are lesser charges. So in murder, you have intent to kill. But if while you're killing someone and you're not intending to kill them, you cause them serious harm, or if you're not intending but you're reckless about it, okay, those are other crimes, and those crimes you can be held guilty on, but they weren't originally charged in the original document for that. Now they've moved already to amend the charges, but that even raises a very technical question as to whether or not they have to start over. Not that it's a big deal. I mean, they start over, they got the warrant. The warrant lays out all the facts. All they got to do is put in a couple of paragraphs that says, and this violates these other charges. But whether or not a prosecutor is going to exercise the discretion to use the state's resources under these circumstances, especially after one juror gives that incredibly clear insight as to what was going on in the minds of the jurors, it's going to be a heavy judgment. And this is a senior state's attorney with whom I've had no dealings. I always presume the best about everybody to start out. But the state's attorney, him or herself, is going to have to get involved and make a judgment. Is this really an appropriate use of Connecticut's resources to, you know, go back in? And essentially, at this point, it seems to be advocating for this whole gang of kids who were also advocating at the time, advocating is overstating it, just, you know, beating up these guys. And maybe they had a good reason to beat them up. I don't know. I can't think of any good reason to beat anybody up. But that's what was going on. And since they kind of joined in with that process, that perspective, they really got to push back and think fresh. All right, based on what was said, and they had Raul on the stand for days. They know everything that he thought. I mean, and he had answered all their questions. So if you think you can get it, if you as a prosecutor believe beyond a reasonable doubt you're going to get a conviction beyond a reasonable doubt, charge him again. If you have some doubts as to whether or not you're going to convict, that's where you're supposed to exercise discretion. And so it's a real question as to whether they're going to convince themselves beyond a reasonable doubt, oh, yeah, we're going to win this. Because if they don't get to there, it's a real fine line. There's actually an ethical obligation on prosecutors not to bring charges unless they feel very reasonably certain they're going to get a conviction. It's going to be hard here.
How long do they have to decide on that?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, there's no, the time isn't really all that relevant, other than everybody wants to know, let's move on this. I do think it's going to take months. the statute of limitations is not relevant because they acted with dispatch immediately, and that suspends the statute of limitations. So there's plenty of time to bring these charges. It's really a question of, you know, the public has a right to have closure here.
As we talk about this particular case, and you've brought this up a few times, there was that juror interview, Jim. Is that unusual that you would see that much insight into what happened in a high-profile case, at least? This juror that comes out says the state didn't prove its case well to the jury. They didn't agree on those lesser-included charges. They didn't consider the self-defense argument, he said, which was very interesting, it would seem, since that was such a focal point of the defense's argument itself, was that he acted in self-defense. But it just stopped at the fact that the state didn't prove its case well. What did you learn from that interview?
Well, first of all, it is very unusual to have a juror give that kind of insight. And very cogently, he touched on all the relevant points. Secondly, when he said they didn't even focus on self-defense. Well, that is technically true. The defense of self-defense was based on all of the evidence that, you know, bears on the intent to kill. He didn't have intent to kill. He's trying to just get out from under this mess. So the self-defense facts were considered throughout because they're just baked into the events themselves. So it was an unusual event in the first place for a juror to do this, when the judge specifically tells them you don't have to do that, and the judge tries to lean in a little bit, almost saying please don't do that. But in this case, I don't think it was a disservice. I think it is helping. He was a very smart guy and seemed very low-key, so he seemed credible. So I thought it was impressive.
There's something else that I noticed. There were split days for jury instructions, and it sandwiched a holiday weekend to boot. It wasn't just a regular weekend, but the 4th of July and then Saturday and Sunday. Do you think that that had any impact on this or no?
Well, that is not unusual. It happens. You know, weeks end and then new weeks start. And if you're in the middle of jury instructions, you pause. I imagine I did not study what the judge said at the beginning when she came back. But I'm pretty sure she, you know, touched on what she had already covered just to kind of get everybody reoriented. So I don't make too much of that. As long as everything is covered and both lawyers for each side were satisfied with, you know, the basic instructions, I don't think that, in fact, if anything, it probably helped the jurors each settle in with their own thinking about this case.
What is the big lesson from this? Okay, we've got a bunch of teenagers involved. Of course, these kinds of things happen, unfortunately. You have underage drinking, teenagers fight. They do dumb things. Their brains aren't necessarily fully developed, as you have indicated in our conversation. Is there a lesson to be learned from any of this?
Oh, I hope so. The main lesson to me is a lesson that has been very well taught by our former Chief Justice, Rick Robinson, who teaches about implicit bias. It's a scientific fact. In fact, he's so persuasive in explaining to all of us that he was invited by people in the, quote, red states, the judges, to teach them about his presentation. And I've co-presented with him on the same subject, which is we all have implicit bias. That's how we survive. You have to know that, oh, you see this kind of snake, you got to run away. You know, if you're sitting there thinking about it, you know, so you, am I biased against snakes? Well, yeah, okay. That's not a bad thing to be biased against. Well, the fact is we all have it. And in this case, you've got all these kids who present as goody-goodies, excuse the expression, after the fact, and they are all good kids, quote-unquote. You know, they're all involved in their school. They don't have records. You know, these are good students and good people. They're kind of people that grow up to be your audience right now. But everybody in this audience knows people or was one of those people, I sure was, where you're part of something that's going on that you're like, this isn't right. And what do you do when things aren't right? Well, at that age, you kind of just jump in, and it's not healthy. So the two issues to me that stand out are implicit bias, because I believe there was some of that going on against Raul Valle. You know, that is a kid who looks a little different. He's smaller, and, you know, he's not part of that gang that came in and gave all the testimony, because that's where it was, and the police appropriately interviewed them all, and they appropriately, predictably, I should say, more than appropriately, said things that you would expect them to say that would make themselves look better. But you have to always check that implicit bias. That's point one. And point two, when you're dealing with young people, you have to recognize, as you've reflected, their brains aren't finished. They're not fully formed. They can have specific intent. We do charge kids with murder when they have obvious specific intent to kill. Here, you got a guy who's getting beat on, and somebody gives him a knife, and he doesn't use it for a while, and then he finally uses this knife while he's down on the ground. And ultimately, one time he uses a knife, it happens to hit the exact wrong space, and somebody dies. It's horrible. But the judgment that has to be made thereafter isn't an easy one. You still have to push back and reflect.
Jim, I really appreciate your time in talking this through with me, and I'm looking forward to another conversation.
All righty. Glad to help.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
The wait is finally over. Ready or Not is available now on consoles. Become an elite SWAT commander and feel the weight of the badge. The immersive cult classic is now on its way to more players than ever before. Coming this summer for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series XS. Get ready for 18 high-stakes missions, solo or with up to 5 players in co-op. Clear rooms, protect civilians, make split-second calls, and join the tactical shooter community. With countless ways to set up your loadouts and gear, no mission is the same. And with full crossplay, your team can suit up no matter what system they're on. So, if you're into tactical gameplay and intense high-stakes action, Ready or Not is the must-play tax shooter this summer. Available now on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.